Good morning, good morning, good morning. And I am so, so excited to see such a full house today. This is amazing. Hey, welcome River of Hope. My name is Pastor Josh. I am the senior pastor here. Right now, I want you to take a couple of minutes. Go shake hands with someone you haven't said good morning to, especially if it's someone you don't know. Go shake their hand, introduce yourself, and tell them how excited you are that they have joined us today. If this is your first time coming to River of Hope, I just want to say how excited we are that you are our guest, that I want to let you know that each and every one of you who are here, we've been praying for each and every one of you all week, continually, as we continue to chase after God. Just a couple of quick announcements. Immediately following service, we will be going to the hotel for a baptism service. This is very exciting. So I want to talk about baptism a little bit later. I just want to hit the highlights real fast for you. So Scripture shows us all throughout Scripture, every time someone came to know faith in Christ, that upon that time, they would then go get baptized, making a public declaration, I have decided to follow Christ, and that you are dying to your sins, symbolically dying. When you go into the water, you are dying to your sins, and when you are raised up, you are saying, I am following Christ 100% completely. Baptism will not save you. Baptism is not required. It is a very important step in faith to take, though. And do we have the video that was made? Yeah. Can we just play that video again? Because I thought this is such a great video, and... What's that?
Stop.
far God has already brought us. And as that song says, we got to trail the blaze. And my question is, River of Hope, are you ready to follow God into the unknown and blaze this trail in the Medford? As we take back this city, as more and more people come back to Christ, more and more people are pulled from the devil's grips. Are you ready for that?
Amen.
God has been telling us that an awakening is coming. There is an awakening coming, and people are going to come back to the churches because they want to know if God is real. And when they come here, that is what we pray for every single day. We pray that we will be hidden and that only God's glory can shine through. And that is what we are here for. That is why I love that. We are here to give glory to his name. And I'm so excited. The two people who weren't mentioned in the video because we didn't have pictures of them were Timber and Allison. And so we are so excited that all these people are taking this next step of faith. Men's conference is coming up September 21st and 22nd. Men, if we get 10 people to go and we get registered by the 14th, we get $10 off. The price goes up after that. We have 8 people right now committed that they are going to go.
Yes.
If you want to go, talk to me or sign up on the sheet. If you're saying, man, I'd love to go, but the money is going to stop me, River of Hope will not let money stop you from getting there. Men, you need to get to this conference. It is a Friday afternoon, and then all day Saturday, we come back Saturday night. I guarantee you, if you go, you will leave challenged and ready to take on anything life is going to throw at you and be fired up for God. This is an event we look forward to every single year. Men's group, we're getting it together, guys. We're 2 in a row. End of August, we're going to go out to Zuliger's Cabin, and we're going to shoot a bunch of guns and grill up some more food. We did horseshoe tournament yesterday. Ben worked the grill for us, did an amazing job. And I need to officially recognize with the golden horseshoe. The winners, if they would just stand up. The winners of the golden horseshoe, this will be the traveling trophy every year. But the winners this year, the first annual Men of Hope horseshoe tournament, were Travis and Paul.
Yay!
So, gentlemen, this is what you win. A golden horseshoe. Now, for the really cool people, the second place team, they get a free coffee from the coffee bar. And who do you think won second place? Who was it again? Oh, that's right. Me and John. So me and John, we get a free coffee to the coffee bar. See, first place, you get the golden horseshoe, but it has to stay. But we love to have fun here. But this is what it all comes down to. And we're going to get back to worship 1 second, but I got to say something. Because this came up when we are having such a blast yesterday. And as we were finishing up horseshoes, it was kind of fun because the guys were like, they were throwing out sermon ideas. And they're like, hey, why don't you just take tomorrow off? We got this. We'll preach the sermon. And we were talking about all this stuff. And one thing came up is we got talking about Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods is, when he was in his era, he was the most dominant golfer ever. One time he hit a shot, he knocked it 3 feet too far, it went into the water. You know what he said he did? He said, I took the ball, I backed up 3 feet, dropped it, and hit it the exact same way again, and knocked it within inches of the cup. Could you imagine being so good at something that you can do it the exact same way? Like, just repeat it. And I got thinking about that, and what do we want for you at River of Hope? We want you to become such amazing Christians that you are out there making new Christians and discipling others. But I can't expect that to happen if you haven't taken the first step. Tiger Woods' dad, when he was born, Earl said, I'm going to turn this kid into a great golfer. But the first step for him, that was not sending him out into a golf course. The first step was years and years and years practice. When Tiger was 2 years old, he was on the Ed Sullivan Show showing off his drive at 2. So I want you guys to be such amazing Christians that you're out making more disciples. But here's the first step. You need to understand where you stand right now with God. There is a thing in horseshoes. You all heard it. Close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, right? And you may be thinking right now, well, I am close enough or I am good enough to get to heaven. Here's what I'm going to tell you right now. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Me, you, everybody. Think about this. Have you ever told a lie? I'm sure we all have. You ever stolen anything? You just told me you're a liar. You expect me to believe you're not a thief? The fact is, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us very specifically, the wages for that is eternity in hell. What we earned by breaking God's law is eternity in hell. Now you're like, hey, but man, everybody's always preaching, God loves me, God loves me. God does love you. But let's take this to a real world setting real quick. Let's say you are standing before a judge and you've been convicted of murder. And you say to that judge, you're like, he's going to pass sentence. What are you going to say to that judge? Well, judge, you love me, so I know you're going to let me go. He's going to like, I love you, but someone has to pay this price. The crime has been committed. Someone has to pay the price for this crime. That is prison sentence. God is the exact same way. God is the righteous judge. He can have nothing to do with sin. And I'm telling you, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to put in your mind that God is a mean, vengeful God. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. And I want, because I love you. If you die in your sins, the punishment for that is eternity in hell, separated from God forever. A punishment that was never created for human beings. It was created for the devil and his angels. But God will have no choice. Now let's go back to that courtroom. You're sitting there, the judge says, you're guilty of this crime. I'm about to pass sentence on you. What do you have to say for yourself? And before you can say anything, someone runs in and says, hey, judge, I'll go to prison for that person. Hey, judge, I'll go to prison for Timber. Hey, judge, I'll go to prison for Jamie. Hey, judge, I'll go to prison for Kevin. I'll go to prison for Jill. Judge says, that's fine. I don't care who serves the sentence, but someone has to. That person then gets hauled off in cuffs and you walk free. This is where the God of love comes in. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for you. His son, who never committed a single sin in his life, went to the cross so you could be saved. We're going to be celebrating a baptism here in just a little bit. The fact that they're getting baptized will not save them. The fact that Stephen prays that all the bad men become good men will not save him. No matter how much good you have done, that will not save you. This is what saves you. The one and only thing that will save you is accepting that Christ died for your sins. Right now, he is calling each and every one of you. I want everyone to look right now. Can you honestly say, if you were to die right now and stand before God, can you honestly say you will walk into heaven? I can. Not because I get up here and preach, not because I try to be a good person, because the blood of Christ is over my sins because I accepted that. We're going to talk about repentance and forgiveness when we preach today. I don't mean to preach before I preach, but man, God was laying this on me, and I have to get this out. And who would me if I don't preach the gospel of Christ? You are not guaranteed tomorrow. You are not guaranteed you'll walk out of this building today. there is one thing you are guaranteed. When you die, you will stand before God. And when that happens, what will your answer be? Right now, he's saying, come. The work's already been done. Are you going to accept it? We're going to close our eyes right here. We're going to pray for just a minute. And we're going to throw it back to the worship. And we're going to worship this amazing God. This amazing God who loves you so much, he sent the Son to die for you. And we're going to pray just some simple words. And I'm going to ask you, when everybody's going to bow their eyes, and we're all going to bow our heads, we're going to close our eyes. If you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, and you are saying, Pastor Josh, right now, right here, right now, I want to get right with God. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in just a minute. All right. Let's let everybody, eyes closed, heads down. If you are thinking right now, Pastor Josh, if I'm right with God, and I want to get right with God, just simply slip your hand up right now. Amen. I see hands going up. Amen. If you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, and you want this today, all right. The Bible doesn't give us a prayer that we have to pray. It says you have to accept Christ as your Savior. Believe and you shall be saved. You slip your hand up and this is your prayer. Just pray this silently with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that you sent your Son to die on the cross for me. I know that I am a sinner and that I am doomed for hell. But as of today, as of right now, I accept your Son as my personal Savior. I accept the forgiveness you poured out on that cross for me right now. And I know, as of right now, that my sins have been forgiven. And I know that if I were to die right now, I will enter into heaven because of what you have done for me by accepting this free gift. God, we thank you, we honor you, and we glorify you. I thank you for the hands I saw go up, God. You tell us that angels rejoice when people come back to you. I thank you for the victory you have just given us as people have raised their hands and they have said, we are turning back, we are turning to Christ. We praise you for that victory. Now we're going to worship you, and I just thank you for those hands we had go up. I praise you for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you want to know how God works? Man, I had no idea what Dwayne had picked up for music. Our worship leader at the last minute didn't be here, and Dwayne filled in, and I had no idea he was going to talk about our God is mighty to save and amazing grace. I did not know that was coming when God said, hey, preach salvation right now. And man, that is just God saying, yeah, you preach salvation, then we're going to sing about it. And so we're about to do communion. We only do communion once a month because we never want it to become a ritual. Communion is very important, but it's very important that we don't just do it because, hey, we do communion. This is a time for us to look back and remember what it means. On the night when she was betrayed, Jesus had all of his disciples with him and they were eating. And he knew he was about to be betrayed. He knew he was about to go to the cross and die. And with that in mind, he took the bread. He said, take this bread. This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat. And when you do this, remember what I did for you. Or in their case, what I'm about to do. When we partake in communion, we are looking back to the cross. This is just bread. This is just juice. That's all it will ever be. It does not become the real body. It does not become the blood. It is just a symbol. Just as baptism is a symbol, this is a symbol. But as we do this as we look back to the cross and we say, God, thank you so much that while I was your enemy, the Bible tells us why we were still enemies, Christ died for us. Is that powerful? How many of you would gladly go suffer the most horrible death for your enemy? Christ did that for you. Again, after supper, he took the cup and he said, this is my blood shed for you. This is our new covenant we are making. Again, this will always be just grape juice. It is powerful that we remember what God did for us. And we are about to do that. I want to give the warning that was given. Do not come and partake of this unworthily. We're gonna have music playing. When you are ready, come forward, take the bread and take the cup. But before you do so, search out in your heart. If there is something you need to get right with God, do it now before you come to this table. I want to stress how important communion is as we look back and remember what Christ did for us. If you are fortunate enough to remember when you first came to Christ, when you came from being doomed to hell to being a son of God or a daughter of God, for the ladies out there, I remember that day. I went from crying at my bedside to laughing. And when I partake of this, that's what I think about. I think about the anguish and the pain Christ suffered on that cross. And while he was doing it, I firmly believe he was thinking of me. He was thinking, one day Josh is going to come to accept me. I'm going to do this for him. So take a few minutes to examine yourself. If you need to confess something to God, confess it to him. We confess your sins. God is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We're going to pray, and when you're ready, come partake. Dear God, we thank you and praise you for what body of your own son broken for us. The blood that was poured out and poured upon the mercy seat for us, that we might be saved. Oh God, I pray as each one of us examines our lives today that we would get right with you and then come to this table. God, once again, I just want to say we thank you and we praise you for all those people in here who have come to know your saving grace. For those who have come today, we especially rejoice. And for those who are going to come, we rejoice. I thank you for our older saints who have stuck with us for so long and our new ones who are coming alongside, Lord. But most importantly, we just thank you for the sacrifice you made. In Jesus' name, amen. We have an open communion table, which simply means if you are a born-again Christian saved by the blood of Christ, this is available for you. Parents, it's up to you what you want to decide for your children. But we will not, Jesus did not deny anybody his blood, his body, and we will not deny anybody to have communion with us. And we'd be honored. If you are our guest, let me say this again, we would be honored if you chose to take communion with us. Whenever you are ready, come forward. I don't know about you, but man, I'm excited to see when we go through a whole communion. I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to our unsung heroes. You guys see me every week. You see Ben and Andrea. You see our worship team. But I just want to say thank you. I was going to say earlier. I want to say thank you. I walked in Saturday for men's group. I walked in and the church was clean. And it smelled good. And, you know, the envelopes are put back in. That doesn't happen by magic. We have people working behind the scenes who work very, very hard keeping our church clean. So thank you to them. And did you know that, like, these little cups don't fill themselves? And so thank you to Joyce Nail, who set up our communion for us this morning. It is greatly appreciated. We're going to continue on in just the spirit of worship now, and we're going to take up tithes and offerings today. Travis, want to come help us? So we're going to worship God with our tithes and offerings as we give back to Him what is His. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings You keep bestowing upon us. We are not worthy of such blessings. As we give back what is rightfully Yours, though, we claim the promise You give us. If we give back, You will give back to us. If we give back the first part of our harvest, You will then fill our barns. I pray that You would help, You would bless this money and keep the ministry of this church going, so we can have more Sundays like this where people are coming to know You, God. Because that's what we are here for. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning again, and I keep forgetting to say this, but if you are watching us on Facebook, welcome, either live or on the replay, welcome. My name is Pastor Josh, and I am so excited about today. Before we get into the heart of the message, I mentioned earlier, we don't believe in baptizing babies. We believe baptism from when you've accepted Christ, but what we do believe in is what we refer to dedicating them. And Allison, step out. Okay, we will circle back to that. Help me remember. So we're going to get into our message today. So my whole philosophy is church can be a whole lot of fun and entertaining while still preaching strong biblical truth. If we're not preaching strong biblical truth, we might as well not be here. But I think we can make it fun and exciting while we do that. And we've been looking at board games. And the board game we're going to look at today is Sorry. How many of you played this game? How many of you got into fights while playing this game? So the whole thing is, so if you pull the next slide. So here's your game board, and you start in those little pods right there. Your job is to get all the way around the board and up in the home. The only way you can leave your pod is if you get a 1 or a 2. Now, here's where the name comes in. There are a certain number of cards in the deck that say sorry. And what you can do is if you get that card, you can take any one of your opponent, put your pawn in their spot, and move them back to home. Now, the whole thing is when you do it, you're supposed to say, sorry. And like we used to play like, hey, this is personal. This is just strategy. You're farther ahead in the board. I'm like, oh, yeah. And you're like, so you forgive me, right? Yeah. And then you get the card, and what do? You be like, hey, sorry. But, so how does this apply to our Christian life? How often are we actually saying we're sorry and meaning it to God? Are you actually sorry for your sins? Or are you sorry you got caught? Every time I see an athlete caught doing something stupid, and he'll come out with those form letter apologies, or a business tycoon or whoever, I'm like, are you actually sorry? Or are you sorry that someone shone the spotlight on what you're doing? And how many times when someone comes to us and asks for forgiveness, are you actually forgiving them? See, repentance and forgiveness, they go hand in hand. And it also ties in with baptism. It's amazing how God did this. So, Gage, Would you like to earn 10 bucks today? All right. The Bible says that when we are, hold on to it. The Bible says when we are baptized, that we are dead to our sins and alive in Christ. When you come to know Christ, the old man is dead. How does a dead person react? They don't. What happens if you go punch a dead body? Okay, so Gage, come here. To earn 10 bucks, all you have to do is sit in this chair and be dead. Sit there. No, sit up. Okay, now here's what you can't do. When this is all done, Mrs. Lacey, you tell us if you can do this. All you have to do is no matter what I do, what I say, you cannot react. For the rest of this sermon, consider me sin, but you are now dead to sin. All right? So, here's a great example, and I'm going to pick on Gage because he's up in the front row. Gage was out late the other night. He went to One Fest. Woo! Amazing concert. From what, concerts, I guess. Lots of different acts. So they got home, so he was a little bit tired. Now, how many of you, like, if you get tired, you get grumpy? Yeah? And how many times when you're grumpy, you let your mouth slip and say stuff you're not supposed to? Now, the fact that you're tired does not mean that you can do that. Right? Because isn't that just giving in to sin who we're supposed to be dead to? All right. Gage, you want your 10 bucks? What? Just say it. I just said you're dead to sin. I am sin. Don't react. Now you can't get your 10 bucks. All right. Are you sorry? Okay. Are you really sorry? You promise you won't do it again the rest of the sermon? Okay. All right. I'll give you another chance. So no matter what I do, Gage, you're dead to sin. Mrs. Lacey has your 10 bucks at the end of the service. If you qualify, you get your 10 bucks. So questions we're going to answer today. First one is, what does it mean to truly repent? Repent's kind of one of those big Christian words we like to use. Makes us feel better. We're going to look into that. So, and what does it look like? If you truly repented for your sins, what does it look like? Okay, I'll give you that one. That hits you a little But you can't react because you're dead to sin. How does forgiving or not forgiving others affect me? I guarantee you, as we go through this, you'll find out that repentance and forgiving others go hand in hand. When do I forgive others? What are the results of my actions? Have I truly repented of my sins and am I forgiving others? Or am I like the fool and still harboring bitterness and grudges? Our main text. If you want to open your Bibles, if you have them, Luke chapter 3, verses 7 to 15. So New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 15. I'm telling you, when I set my sermon series, I did not know we were baptizing people today. And God is just working all this behind the scenes. So this is John the Baptist talking. The crowds are coming out to him to be baptized, and he says, "You brood of vipers, who warns you to flee from coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with righteousness, with repentance, and do not begin to save yourself. We have Abraham as our father, for I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same." Even tax collectors came to be baptized. You gotta understand, that tax collectors are that despised person. Trust me, I know how I feel about tax collectors. They asked him, "Teacher, we do. Don't collect any more than you're required," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "What
should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. The people were all expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. And John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. We're going to move on to our next set of scripture. We've got a lot to get through today. Then Peter came and asked him, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? Jesus answered, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. And he gives this parable, and I love this parable. So this is how the parable goes. He says, there is a man, a king, and one of his servants owed him money, a sum that could not be repaid. And he brought the servant in, and he said to him, are you going to repay the money that you owe me? Doing pretty good. And he said, I can't do it. And he said, well, then I'm going to cast you in the prison. And he said, he begged for forgiveness, and he begged, and God, the king forgave him. And then a little bit later, this same servant goes out into the marketplace, and he finds someone who owes him a little bit of money. And he says, pay me the money you owe me. And the guy says, well, I don't have the money. Remember, this same servant was just forgiven a debt he could never repay. And now he's arguing with someone who owes him money. And he says, repay me. And he says, I can't. So the man starts choking him and says, give me my money. And he says, I can't. And then he calls for the guards to come take him away to debtor's prison. Now, how do you think the king responded when he heard about this? You think he was happy with this man? No. He said, ah, so I forgave you your debt, but you can't forgive others. Because of that, I am now going to put you in the prison until the debt is completely and totally repaid. Then Jesus said, this is what will happen. This is what my Heavenly Father will do if you do not forget brothers and sisters from your heart. So what does it mean to truly repent? Like I said, repent is this big Christian word. We love to use it. And I'm not certain why we use it so often. Is it warm in here? I'm warm. Anybody else warm? Gage, are you warm? Why'd you answer? I am sin. You are dead. You do not react to sin, right? All right, now you just lost your $10. Okay, you want another shot at it? Okay, are you truly sorry? Yeah? Okay. All right, we'll start again. So what does it mean to truly repent? Now, back to what I was saying. Is anybody hot? I'm hot. Gage, are you hot? You look hot. I think we should cool you off a little bit. That's pretty amazing. So let's define the word. Is to feel or express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing or sin. When you sin, you should instantly feel like, wow, I can't believe I just did that. You should actually be thinking to yourself, every time you sin, you should be thinking to yourself, man, I just put Christ back up on that cross. I'm not saying we're going to achieve sinless perfection, but I'm saying there are some big potholes we can be missing along the way. I mean, how many of you get up in the same morning, drive the same route to work? If you know there's a pothole there, how many of you avoid it? Well, in our Christian walks, we're walking along, we know a pothole's there that's sin, and yet we still step in it. If we are to be dead to sin, then we shouldn't be reacting to it. When the temptation comes up, we should be like, Gage, he's doing an amazing job.
Yeah.
And not reacting to it. So repentance as a verb, means to turn away from and head the opposite direction. All right. If you were driving along and you see a sign that says bridge out ahead, that sign does not mean try harder. So you're driving along and you see a sign that says bridge out 4 miles. You're like, I think I can make it. And you keep going and you see a sign that says bridge out and 2 miles ahead. And you're like, nah, I'm sure that bridge is not out. And you see the sign and you get there and the bridge is out. And you're like, I think I can make it across that. Is that how you do it? Well, you understand, when you are walking in your sin, the bridge is out. And when you die, you're heading to hell. That bridge is out. Why do you keep going that way? When we talk about repentance, we mean, hey, we're walking this way. We're living the life of the world. But when we come to know Christ, we stop and we turn around and go this way. As a verb, that's what it means. If you are truly sorry for what you have done, will you do it again? Kids in the playground. I look at it. I had a great example for that, but what did I mean by that? And here's what it is. I remembered it now. So occasionally, I have to watch my nieces and nephews. When I was working full-time at Brute Force, I had to watch my nieces and nephews. Now, I would be in the office, and I can't keep an eye on them. We have a very busy parking lot there. We have semis come in and out. Now, Max, come here, please. Come here. Levi, come here. So my nieces and nephews are not much bigger than this. Now, when you're in a semi, you cannot see these kids. So I repeatedly told those kids several times, like, here's where you can play. You can play on the playground or the trampoline, nowhere else. If I come outside and I find you somewhere else, I'm going to have to punish you. I even said to them, you can go sit down, thank you. I even said to them, where can you play? And they said, the playground or the trampoline. Had them repeatedly say it. I sent them outside. Where did they go? They were in the parking lot and in the shop. I came outside. I pulled them all inside. I punished them all. I said, now, where can you play? The playground and the trampoline. Where are you going to play? The playground or the trampoline. I'm right. Okay, go out and play. Where do you think they want to play? They were in the driveway and the shop again. Now, yeah, the shop is really interesting, but it's not a place for kids. It's dangerous. But how many times in our Christian lives do we do this? God says, hey, don't go here. And you're like, surely, okay, you know, yeah, I know this is a great big sin, but this little one over here, right? And God's like, no. And you're like, okay. What are you doing? I'm so sorry. I won't do it again. All right. How often do we do that? If we are truly repenting for our sins, we won't react. And what we like to say is, well, you don't know my circumstances. God does. He says, no temptation has come upon you that cannot be withstood. For every temptation that comes, I will also bear a way out. So you can't say, well, God, it's not my fault. I'm an alcoholic, so I got to go drink. God's like, no. Well, God, it's not my fault that I love sweets so much. And God's like, yeah, it is. For every temptation, I have given you a way out. Well, God, it's not my fault that I want to chase after women. You made them too beautiful. Yeah, here's what you do. You marry one, and you do it in that confine. God, it's not my fault that I look at these images. They're too easy to access. Right? This is what Proverbs says. And I love this image. Because we have dogs at the shop. And they do some dumb, dumb things. But this is my favorite one. And how many of you have a dog or been around a dog? You will have seen them do this. I guarantee it. As a dog returns to its vomit, how many times have you seen a dog puke, walk away and come back and eat it again? As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Think about that. Every time you are given back into temptation and you want to do whatever it is that you keep falling, think about that, man. You're no better than the dog going back to eat its own vomit. That wasn't me telling you that. That was God telling you that. So if you got issues with that, go to him. He says, fools will repeat their folly. So if you are repeating it, the Bible says you're a fool. You got an issue with that? Talk to the man who wrote it. I'm just telling you what was written. The old man is dead. We want to open Romans 6, 6 through 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans 6, 6 through 15. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to do nothing so that we were no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free, free from sin. You're free from it. Why do you keep putting yourself back into bondage to it? If we have died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Gage, you want that $10? That's dead. That is dead. He wants that $10 really bad. I guarantee he wants that $10. But he knows that the $10, he's not getting that $10 by talking to me. Right? You want blessings and you want God to be in your life. You want God to be helping you. Giving in to temptation and sin is not the way to get there. Living your life for Christ and being dead to sin is how you get to it. Last week, we redefined success. We said success is not having the brand new van, the brand new truck, the big house. Success is living and working within the will of God. If you are constantly giving into temptation and to sin, if your old man is not dead, how are you successful? Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present yourself members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. But, right? So here, don't do this. Do this. Present yourself to God as those who have brought from death to life as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you since you are not under law but under grace. Now the next question is, Pastor, you just preached how we need to die to sin. Now he's saying we live under grace. Paul answers that with this question. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? This translation says by no means. But in almost every other translation, he says, God forbid. He did not just spend that whole time telling you you are dead to sin just to give you permission to go sin. He's saying, yeah, you are covered by grace, but that doesn't give you a go out and sin free card. This is not Monopoly. It'd be a great card to have, though, wouldn't it? Yeah. Commit one sin without repercussions. So how do the dead react? They don't. They know nothing. There's no soul. There's nothing in that body. It's just a husk. It's just a shell. I've never once seen a body at a funeral get up and say, I never liked any of you guys. I'll never forget my uncle died, and we went to see him. You know what we said when we all looked at him? We're like, that is not how he would address himself. But, you know, did he get up and say, hey, put my flannel shirt back on, mess my hair up, and take off this makeup? No. The dead don't react to anything at all. Casey, wondering why it's okay to do that today. All the sanctuary and the chairs are all getting washed tomorrow. So I have one chance to get this, to make this point clear. And thank you, Gage, for being so helpful. You're doing awesome, by the way. Dude! I am sin. You are dead to sin. Don't react to what I do, okay? All right, now you just lost. Okay, you gonna do it right now? Right? You can answer. You're gonna finish up? Chance to win $10? You can shake my hand. All right. Here, he's good. All right. Mrs. Lacey still has your $10 whenever you're ready. So what does true repentance look like? If we are truly repenting, if we are truly sorry, we won't go back to our same sins. How can you be truly sorry and going back and doing it again and again and again and again? True repentance brings forth fruit. And when we say fruit, we don't mean that you should go to the store and buy apples and oranges and bananas. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. So when I had to write this out, I was like, I want to list the fruits of the Spirit. How can I do that? And I'm like, what are the fruits of the Spirit? And I kid you not. Hey, Gage, do you remember the song Fruits of the Spirit? Do you remember how it goes? Brayden, do you remember it? You want to come sing it? So there's a great little kid song. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is not a coconut. If you want to be a coconut, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit. Because these are the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you are truly repenting for your sins, if you are truly living for God, you'll be exhibiting that. A friend of mine called me up. He's like, you are not going to believe what just happened to me. He's like, I had a good friend of mine just stab me in the back. And all I wanted to do was tell him off. And God's like, don't you dare. Don't you dare ruin your, what we talk about? One moment of will ruin a lifetime of witnessing. So he held his tongue, he took his phone, got rid of it, because he's like, if I text him or call him, I'm going to be unloving to him. That was hard. But you see, he didn't give in. In fact, when the guy came and finally told him how it was, this is what he said to him. He said, you don't know this, but you actually, yes, you hurt me. Yes, you deceived me. But man, God answered a prayer by you doing that. God was making it clear this was not my path. He's like, yep, we'll still be friends, but I am never going into business with you. But you see, the fruits of the Spirit were manifest in him, and now his witness just went from here to here. Because that guy knew he did wrong. That guy knew he had wrath, should have wrath coming, right? Because the mortal world says you pay anger for anger, good for good. And this guy's like, I want to play good for your bad. Matthew 7:16 tells us that you will know them by their fruits. They're talking about false witnesses there. You will know them by your fruits. People will know you by your fruit. Here's one question that you need to answer honestly. If they outlawed Christianity and they came and arrested you and put you on trial, would there be enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian without your testimony? Without your testimony, would enough people come forward and say, there is something different about that person? They are not the usual hypocrite who goes to Sunday mornings and sits in church and then leaves and then acts like the rest of us. If not, you need to get right. So how does my forgiving or not forgiving others affect me? Here's what it comes down to, guys. If you decide to forgive others, God will not forgive you. Plain and simple, end of story. But you don't know what they did to me. God knows. What does God say? Forgive them. I have a good friend who's going through a very difficult time. And she was talking with me, and I said, have you forgiven this person yet? And she says, no, and I never will. I said, as a pastor, you have to forgive them, and I listed out, here's why. Do not confuse forgiveness with justice. If someone kills your spouse, you can want to see justice and still forgive them. Does that make sense? We tend to think if I hold back forgiveness, that I'm going to hurt that person. No. That person is going to go on living their life whether you tell them you forgive them or not. In fact, there are people right now who have people who are holding grudges against people who are dead and buried yet. And you're still holding your grudge and carrying on. Man, I got enough problems and enough burdens. I'm not going to carry a grudge with me. And it is so easy to do. But above all else, listen to this. Unforgiveness is unchristian and anti-biblical. Man, do you think when they were scourging Christ and pounding in those stakes, you know he could have just blown them all away with a single word? Do you think that never crossed his mind? But he understood forgiveness. When he was on the cross, what did he cry out to God? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you're like, well, I can't forgive this person because they did whatever. God say no. Saying, you want forgiveness. This is a two-way street. If you're not forgiving others, forget about being forgiven. Here's two great examples of people who put forgiveness into action. The first one is Corrie Ten Boom. If you ever get a chance, read the book, The Hiding Place. Corrie Ten Boom was living in, wasn't Germany, it was either Switzerland or Poland. Poland? Holland. Thank you. I knew something like that. I knew it wasn't Germany. When the Germans came in and took over, Corrie decided that they were going to hide as many Jews in their house as they could. Well, what do you think happened? The SS found out what they were doing, and they got hauled away to a concentration camp. While they were in the concentration camp, Corey's sister had a vision. And she told Corey about this house. She goes, when we get out of here, Corey, we're going to have this house. She described exactly what it was going to look like. And she said, we're going to bring people from the camps and we're going to bring the guards together so we can forgive each other. And Corey said, never. I will never forgive these guards for what they have done to me, and to father, and to mother, and to all these people. And her sister said, Corey, that's not biblical. And she said, I don't care. I will never forgive them. Corey, who had been separated from her parents, her sister died in the camp. When she got out, found out her mother and father had died in the camp. She was left all alone.
except she had God. And God took her to this house. And this house was exactly what her sister described. And Corey said, God, I need to forgive others because you first forgave me. And she ran that house where concentration camp survivors would come. And the guards who tortured and killed their family members would come. And you know what those people would do? They would forgive those guards. I tell you what, if a little old woman can forgive guards who tortured and killed her family, I think you can forgive someone for some little slight that they did to you. A few years back, a gunman went in and shot up an Amish school. Do you remember how the Amish people reacted? The first thing they said was, we forgive them. The first thing they said, I don't get this. They just killed your kids. And they said, it's fine. We forgive them. So when do I forgive others? Romans 5:8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you are truly a Christian, which means to be a Christ follower, forgiveness starts immediately. Not when you decide it starts. Forgiveness starts immediately, not when they ask. So watch yourself. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. It's perfectly fine if someone has upset you. You can go up to them and tell them, hey, this hurt my feelings. We tend to think forgiveness is like this. When they say they're sorry, then I'll pour out the water of forgiveness. But really, forgiveness is like this. You're always ready to pour it out. When they say they're sorry, your forgiveness flows out. It's already being poured out for them. Does that make sense? Grudges and unforgiveness are only going to harm you. Gage, you're doing an awesome job. You ready for that $10? So what are the results of my actions? If you are truly repenting and forgiving others, you're going to produce good fruit, showing what God is like. Man, think about this. Roland, if I come and tell you God loves you, he's ready to forgive you, not forgiving you, what are you going to think about God? You understand? Truly repenting and forgiving will continue to grow in God and will reach others. We'll have our sins forgiven because we forgive others. And others will want to know more, especially when they see that forgiveness poured out when the world says we don't need to. We'll be building with material that lasts. If we're faking with our repentance and we're unforgiving, we'll produce no fruit at all. And the world will only see more hypocrites. There'll be no more growth. Growth cannot prosper when there is no repentance. We will remain unforgiven as we don't forgive others. And people will see that we are the same as them when we refuse to forgive. You're called to be salt and light. You can't be salt and light when you're not forgiving people. It's just how it works. We're going to build with material that will be destroyed. The last question you need to answer for yourselves. Are you truly repenting for your sins? And are you forgiving others?
Or are you going to be like the fool, the dog? You know, keep returning back to that vomit again and again and again. Let's give Gage a round of applause. He did pretty amazing. Gage, thank you so much for being an object lesson so people can understand what it means to be dead to sin. You have definitely earned that $10. Are you ready for it? Mrs. Lacey, can you give him $10? Thank you all very much. We're going to dismiss in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the words. We praise you for all those who accepted you as our Savior today. We pray you lead us forth in true repentance and that we won't fall back into the snare. Lord, I pray blessings over everyone who has been here today. I just pray that you would stay with them and keep them through this next week. As we face the trials and the tribulations, as we come back together next week to love and to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all. I hope to see you, as many of you as possible, at the baptism.
This is what it sounds like. This is what it looks like. This is what it feels like when the church is alive. This is what it sounds like.